ॐ भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 33, entitled Activities of Kapila. Today we are reading text number 21. Vanam pravrajite patya apatya virahatura नाततत्वापि अभुन्नस्ते वत्से गौर इवा वत्सला वर्ड फॉर वर्ड मीनिंग वनम टू द फॉरेस्ट प्रव्रजिते पत्याव व्हेन हर हस्बैंड लेफ्ट होम Apatya viraha, by separation from her son. Atura, very sorry. Gnata tattva,
knowing the truth.
Api, although. Abhuta, she became. Naste vatse,
when her calf is lost,
gauha, a cow,
eva,
like,
vatsala,
affectionate. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Devahuti's husband had already left home and accepted the renounced order of life. And then her only son, Kapil, left home. Although she knew all the truths of life and death, and although her heart was cleansed of all dirt, she was very aggrieved at the loss of her son. Just as a cow is affected when her calf dies. Please repeat after me. Devahuti's husband had already left home and accepted the renounced order of life. And then her only son, Kapil, left home. Although she knew all the truths of life and death, and although her heart was cleansed of all dirt, she was very aggrieved at the loss of her son. Just as a cow is affected when her calf dies. Purport. A woman whose husband is away from home or has taken the renounced order of life should not be very sorry, because she still has the presence of her husband's representative, her son. It is said in the Vedic scriptures, Atmaiva putro jayate, the husband's body is represented by the son. Strictly speaking, a woman is never widowed if she has a grown son. Devahuti was not very much affected while Kapil Muni was there, but upon his departure, she was very afflicted. She grieved not because of her worldly relationship with Kardama Muni, but because of her sincere love for the personality of Godhead. The example given here is that Devahuti became just like a cow who has lost her calf. A cow bereft of her calf cries day and night. Similarly, Devahuti was aggrieved, and she always cried and requested her friends and relatives, please bring my son home so that I may live. Otherwise, I shall die. This intense affection for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although manifested as affection for one's son, is spiritually beneficial. Attachment for a material son obliges one to remain in the material existence. But the same attachment, when transferred to the Supreme Lord, brings one elevation to the spiritual world in the association of the Lord. Every woman can qualify herself as much as Devahuti, and then can also have the Supreme Godhead as her son. If the Supreme Personality of Godhead can appear as the son of Devahuti, he can also appear as the son of any other woman, provided that woman is qualified. If one gets the Supreme Lord as a son, one can have the benefit of bringing up a nice son in this world and at the same time get promotion to the spiritual world to become the face-to-face associate of the Personality of Godhead. ओम ज्ञान तुमिरंदस्य ज्ञानांजना शलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितमेन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यामनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदामयं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वाञ्छाकल्पतृभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यः च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा आई सीक ब्लेसिंग्स ऑफ ऑल द असेंबल्ड वैष्णवास सो आई कैन डू दिस सर्विस दैट प्लीजेस आवर लॉर्डशिप्स एंड ऑल द वैष्णवास असेंबल्ड हियर. So this part of Srimad Bhagavatam, we see that Lord Kapil has achieved his mission, that is to instruct his mother Devahuti in science of devotional service. And a few years back we read that he has left the home, just like his father Kardama Muni taken up a renounced order of life after completing his duties as a grihastha, as a husband. Now son is also leaving and he has left already. And these verses are spoken by whom? Who is speaking this verse? Maitreya Muni, correct. So Maitreya Muni is speaking to Uddhava, a Vidura. So the background, we see few verses back, Maitreya Muni is describing how opulent Devahuti's palace was, how opulently she was living. Why that has to be brought here at this point? Vidura, just before he met Maitreya Muni, he was with Uddhavji, right? He met Uddhav. In first canto, we'll see that. And then Uddhavji gave him a news that son of Yadu dynasty has sat, Krishna has departed. And it was so heartbreaking news for Vidur. Now Vidur has left home many years back, almost 35-36 years back, before Mahabharata war happened, he left the home upon being insulted by Duryodhana. And he never returned. He traveled to different holy places. He was on pilgrimage. And when he met in the forest Uddhavji, he asked, how is Kuru dynasty? How is everyone? And in response, he heard that Lord Krishna has departed. So he was very much aggrieved. He was also in pain. And same thing happens here. Devahuti also left, her son, who is none other than Supreme Personality of Godhead, he was also left. So it's a similar situation. And the opulence is described here in between. So just to make a point that, ultimately this whole material world, this whole creation, no matter, even if you are given opulence of the heavenly planets, ultimately it's going to go. And it's not at all useful. It's not going to come to help you. And ultimately, attachment to the Supreme Lord will save you, will give you happiness. And Sukhdeva Goswami also, we see in Bhagavatam, does this time to time. He brings a description of heavenly planets, how opulent they are, just to make the listener detached. In the ninth canto, Sukhdeva Goswami also mentions dynasty after dynasty, how they came and how they disappeared. Just to press the point that Parikshit Maharaj, you are also about to lose all these things and you have lost. So now it's time to be attached to the Supreme Lord by hearing His glories. And of course, this is for us, primarily for us. Vidurji, he is anyway not attached, neither Devahuti. Vidurji has left, as I mentioned, left home and all the opulences years before. And Devahuti also, she is daughter of Swayambhu Manu. So Manu is a Prajapati. Manu Maharaj is very opulent. He is also possessing such a great opulence. And his daughter naturally possessed all the opulences. But see, when Manu Maharaj brought her daughter to Kardama Muni, Kardama Muni was living in the forest doing tapasya, and he requested, "Please accept my daughter." And Mother Devahuti just gave up all the opulence she had. She didn't never complain, now, from palace I have to live into forest and go through all the austerities, living such an austere life with this Muni as my husband. I have to serve him. She never complained. She already given up because that was her dharma. So it is not that, Devahuti and Vidur is attached to material world, but primarily it is for us. This description is given. Now, the first paragraph, Srila Prabhupada mentions that a woman whose husband is away from home and has taken the renounced order of life should never be very sorry, because she still has the presence of her husband's representative, that is her son. So woman, it said, they are always protected. When they are young, they are protected by their father, mother. When they get married, they are protected by their husband. And when husband is not present, they are protected by their grown-up children, their son especially. So Prabhupada is pointing out that, if such case happen, still woman is never considered widow because she is always under protection. And in reality, all the living entities are also never considered orphan or widow. Not only woman, but all of us, we all have shelter of whom? Ultimately Krishna. Orphan also word means person who has lost his or her protection, which is their parents. It's called anath. Nath means master, the protector, one who gives you love and affection. And anath, opposite to that, means who doesn't have that. But one of the names of Lord is Jagannath. Right? So he's Nath of whole universe. So actually speaking, none of us are actually anath. Although we may feel that, you know, I'm alone, I'm lost in this world. Even non-devotees are. They are also not anath. They are not orphan. Lord is always protecting them. Lord Jagannath. Few days back, on Monday, we had Lord Balram's appearance day. So he is, one of his name is Purvaj. Ja means birth, and Purva means one who has taken birth before us. Purvaj. So he is our Purvaj. Lord Jagannath, he is our Nath. So how can we say that we are orphan, we are widowed, we are without protection? No, Lord is always there. So that's why Prabhupada is mentioning, although she lost her husband and then now her son also, but actually speaking, you know, she is always connected with the Lord through devotional service. She is never widow. In the purport, in the second paragraph, Prabhupada writes, attachment for the material son obliges one to remain in the material existence. But the same attachment, when transferred to the Supreme Lord, brings one elevation to the spiritual world in the association of the Lord. Here, we see that in reality, nothing can come to our help, nothing can come to our aid when we are in the crisis. No matter how loving and affectionate our relatives are, our father, our mother, our children, our friends, relatives, none of us can help a person who is bound in the material world. None of them can release that person from that bondage of material world, except Lord Krishna. In 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we see Gajendra. He was very powerful elephant, and he was actually leader of all the elephants. He was such a powerful, that's why he was a leader basically. He was very powerful, and he has hundreds of wives, she elephants, and many children. And he would enjoy in the forest with his whole family. You know, they go together everywhere, you know, and eat and bathe in, eat in forest and bathe in rivers, reservoirs. And there's a description, when he entered that lake, he went inside first, and then he called all his children, and then he called all his wives, come inside, you know, and then bathe and enjoy. And he would personally bathe them. That's what he was doing, you know. And it is okay, you know, children, when parents bathe children, that's okay. But he was bathing his wives also. You know, that is very unusual. And it was reflecting how attached he was to his family and to his wives. They would come inside and then he personally would throw water on them and bathe them. And that graha, that crocodile, caught his leg and he was suffering intensely for 1,000 years. They both were fighting And Gajendra was trying to save his life. So sometime he would come out, and then again that crocodile will pull him inside. It was going forth and back, forth and back. And all his relatives, all his children and wives, they were also trying to help him. But none of them could save him. Imagine, that just one crocodile. Here, that elephant is also most powerful amongst all the elephants. Plus he had strength of all of his wives and children. They all were trying to pull him out, but one crocodile was catching that Gajendra and wouldn't let him go. Imagine how powerful that crocodile was. The hundreds of elephants couldn't pull him out, you know. So then at one point he gave up. He realized by Lord's arrangement, he remembered his previous birth. He was a great devotee of Lord. And in his previous birth, he performed intense devotional service. So he just remembered, you know, this time, now I'm about to go, I'm finished, you know, I can't help. So he lost all his hopes. And then by good fortune, he could remember the prayers he used to offer to Lord Vishnu in his previous birth. He started glorifying the Lord. He started repeating those prayers in that pathetic condition. And while this was going on, all the demigods were also present. They also heard, because this was happening in this world itself. So these demigods also got to know that something like this is happening, and you know, look at this. These two animals are fighting. My God, you know, for thousands of years, what is this? So they all assembled in the sky and they were watching all these things. And Gajendra did not ask for anyone's help. Although all the demigods could help him, you know, it was very easy for them. Demigods, you know, they can also just chop off that crocodile and release the Gajendra, the elephant. But interestingly, Gajendra didn't ask for anyone's help. None of the demigods, neither Brahma, neither Lord Shiva or Indra. And that is why they were not approaching either, you know. He didn't call us, you know, why should we help him? You know? That's what they were thinking. But Gajendra is calling out Lord Hari, Lord Vishnu, please help me. Please, he's directly saying, please take me back to Godhead. You know, please take me to Vaikuntha. I don't want to live here. You know, even if you come and save me, I don't want to live in the body of elephant. You know, just to take me to the spiritual world. I don't want anything in this world now. I'm done. And Lord Vishnu comes. He comes on the back of Garuda. And as soon as Gajendra saw, he offers one lotus flower. He plucked from there. And he offered. And he says, Lord Vishnu was on Garuda with his Sudarshan Chakra. He felt that Garuda is not fast enough. He's not going so fast. So when he was approaching, he saw, you know, Gajendra would collapse at any point. And then Lord Vishnu actually jumped off from Garuda and he just rushed and immediately released. And it says, you know, he by his hand he touched Gajendra's feet, you know, in a gesture that, you know, sorry, I got delayed to come to save you. And he immediately transformed. It is not that, you know, Gajendra's dead body was sitting there and he assumed four-handed form. No, Gajendra's dead body wasn't there. Otherwise, you know, people will say, you know, after all, he had to die only. See, Lord didn't come to help him. His dead body wasn't there. That elephant, his body got transformed into four-handed form. So here we see how affectionate and caring Lord is. He doesn't take he doesn't neglect when it comes to protect and give love to his devotees. Here the word Vatsa is mentioned. Vatsa, Vatsala, to show the affection, how much affectionate Mother Devahuti was to her son. This word is being used. It's very significant. Lord is also called as Bhakta Vatsal. We hear Lord's name is also Bhakta Vatsal. How does this name come about? This cow, if you see, she is considered to be in mode of goodness, that animal. Although she is in animal body, and all the animals, predominantly, they are considered in mode of ignorance. Why? Because they don't have capacity to inquire about purpose of life. That's why primarily they are considered in mode of ignorance, whereas humans do have. But if humans do not utilize that facility given, then they are not better than animals. That's why Bhagavatam calls them gokhara, compares them with cows and ass. So, the only purpose of human life is to serve Lord Krishna. That is the only purpose. Otherwise, there is no other purpose for humans. All other purpose are actually nonsense. That's why Prabhupada used to call, those who are not worshipping Lord, who turned away from Lord, Prabhupada would call them rascals. Rascal means foolish person. So if I have something, if I have a lot of wealth, for example, if I don't utilize that wealth for my own good or for the good of my relatives and friends, and I just keep it, I'm considered as miser, a foolish person. The same way humans who have got this opportunity, who has this capacity to realize God and establish relationship with the Lord, and doesn't utilize, they are also called foolish, animalistics, rascals, Prabhupada would say. So although this cow, being animal, she is in mode of ignorance, but still she is considered in mode of goodness. If you see cow, she will never put her mouth into dirty places, especially when it comes to food. We see many animals, they go everywhere. Crow will go in rubbish and just eat whatever is given. And they like rubbish only, So like in many animals, pigs, for example, in India you see pigs, they live in gutters, sewage gutters. Cow is not like that. If food is contaminated with stool and urine, for example, she will not even look at that. She will just turn away. So, when that same cow gives birth to baby, she would personally lick that baby, which is covered with stool and urine again. And she would personally lick that baby and clean it. Imagine how much affectionate she is to her baby. She is not eating that food which is contaminated with the stool, but here she is licking her baby. So that's how that word vatsa and vatsala comes. So Lord is also like that. Bhakta vatsala. He does that. He also enters the hearts of all the contaminated living entities and cleans all the dirt. Personally. Personally he does. Although he has lot of and varieties of energies who can assist him, but he chooses to do it personally. Just like that cow is cleaning that calf with her own tongue. So Krishna personally does that. That's why he is called Bhakta Vatsala. That verse in Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Yoga Kshema Vahami Aham. So that word Vahami, Aham, I personally, the person, my devotee who lacks, if he lacks something, I'll provide that personally. And whatever he has, I personally protect that. That's what Lord says. Vahami aham. I personally do that. There's one story we hear that there was one Brahmana. When he was giving commentary or reading Bhagavad Gita, he came across this verse. And his attention got caught at this word, Vahami? How come? Lord personally does that? He doesn't have to, He's Supreme Lord. So personally, he doesn't have to do. He has a lot of energies. He can do that. He can look after his devotees by engaging his other energies. So this must be something wrong here. So he checked. He strike through that word on the pages of Bhagavad Gita. You know, and then it was noontime, so he went away for his noon duties. He told his wife that I'm going to bathe, and then after that I'll collect some alms and I'll come back. So this Brahmana, you know, they, again, you know, quality of Brahmana, they never possess more than what they require. You know, on daily basis also, you know, they go to beg alms, whatever they get, they will cook and they will leave. Like that. And it's not like that, you know, they go house to house until they get something. You know, they have a set number of houses to visit. Okay, 5 houses. If I get, then I'll eat. If I don't get anything, I'll fast. You know, so that was his standard, you know, this Brahmana. So he went away. And after some time, 2 boys comes at the house of this Brahmana, and wife is there. And these 2 beautiful boys came with a lot of bhoga, a lot of foodstuff. And they entered and they told this Brahmana that we have brought this thing for you, please accept it. And she inquired, you know, who are you? Oh, don't worry, you know, we are just traveling here, and we thought, you know, some great Brahmanas are living here, we'll give something what we had. You tell me, you know, and who gave you, where have you got it from? And then they reveal, okay, no, actually your husband gave us, he asked us to deliver this to you, so we brought it. But then while talking, she observed that these 2 boys had some marks, beating marks, you know, they got beaten up. So she asked, you know, what happened? Oh, no, nothing, you know, don't worry. No, tell us, you know. And then she started applying some ointment, and, you know, no, tell us what happened. Oh, actually your husband beaten us up. And she was furious, you know, how come my husband, you know, such a gentle person he is, and what happened today? You know, if he didn't get any food, that doesn't mean he has to beat someone to get the food. You know, we can fast. Why did he do that? And she was cursing her husband. Like that, you know, these 2 beautiful boys, you know, how come my husband beaten them up? And she asked them, you know, you wait here, you know, please, I'll cook something and feed you. And then they said, no, if your husband sees us, he'll get angry again, and he'll beat us up, you know, we'll go. And they left. And here, after some time, this Brahmana comes, and wife is furious, and she is scolding her husband. That how come did he do this? She related whole thing. And then husband is listening, you know, oh, I didn't do all these things. And husband inquired, who are those 2 boys? And from her description, he could understand there's something special here, you know, something mystically, something happened mystically. And he immediately went inside the room where he was reading Bhagavad Gita, and he saw that the word he strike through, Vahami, was again there. You know, it came back, that word. And he understood that Lord is telling me that this Vahami word is not incorrect. It is correct. For my devotees, I personally carry what they like and personally protect what they have. You know, I personally do that. You know, so this is the glory of our Lordship. You know, he is such a compassionate and loving to his devotees. That's why he is called Bhakta Vatsala. And mother is also like that. In this case, Mother Devahuti is called as Vatsala. When we all were at one point little babies, right? We also passed stool and urine in our mother's lap. But she happily cleaned. Such an affection and love she had. And even spiritual master is called Vatsala, Bhakta Vatsala. In next verse, we'll see Maitreya Muni addressing Vidura as Vatsa. So spiritual master is also like Vatsala, Bhakta Vatsala. He is also ready to do anything and everything for his disciples, his devotees, good. Just like Prabhupada, you know, he entered, he left beautiful Vrindavan where he could worship his beloved Lord Krishna very peacefully, but he left that place which is desired by all the Vaishnavas. He left at the old age, and where did he go? To the most contaminated places in the world. He was living in the Bauri with the drug addicts, all the hippies, and he shared the house where people were eating meat. He willingly does that, you know, to goes to horrible places just to help the humanity. So spiritual master is also like that. He is full of compassion for living beings. He is also Bhakta Vatsala. So in next verse we will see Maitreya Muni is also addressing Vidura. They are their disciple and guru. There also he is mentioning this term. In the purport, last paragraph, we see every woman can qualify herself as much as Devahuti, and then can also have the Supreme Personality of Godhead as her son. If the Supreme Personality of Godhead can appear as the son of Devahuti, he can also appear as the son of any other woman, provided they are qualified. Here, the point is Vasudeva consciousness. In other terms, Krishna consciousness. When a living entity develops their consciousness, and that's why we brought this term, Krishna consciousness. When they are completely Krishna conscious, Krishna personally manifests within that person. He can personally give darshan, he can personally establish relationship with his devotees. So that is called Vasudeva consciousness. So provided the living entity, when they elevate themselves to that consciousness, then Lord can appear. Otherwise, unless we are able to transfer our attachment to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is no possibility of becoming freed from this material contamination. There is no possibility. We cannot get ourselves free. We have to be here. But in our current stage, we see that we have little bit attachment for Supreme Personality of Godhead, right? We do some services, we chant, we read and we hear. So we have some attachment, but same time we have a lot of other attachments also which are not required, isn't it? So we are in middle, we are in transition phase. But still, it is said, we are in win-win position. We are very fortunate. Still we are very fortunate. Although we have all this unwanted baggage with us, but still when we are doing some devotion service, still we are considered very fortunate and very lucky. Doesn't matter. It will go away. In case of Bali Maharaj and Aditi, we hear that. So in that pastime, we'll see after Samudra Manthan Leela, demigods and demons, they got into fight. And practically demigods killed all the demons, including Bali Maharaj. They all were killed. And they gained the heavenly planets. And Shukracharya, being compassionate to his kula guru of demons, he revived all the demons, including Bali Maharaj, brought them back to the life. And what Bali Maharaj wanted after that? Being pleased with his guru Shukracharya, he served him so nicely that one day Shukracharya asked him, "What do you want? I am very much pleased with your service." And then Bali Maharaj said, "I want heavenly kingdoms."
Why?
Heaven. I want heavenly kingdoms. I want I'm to possess that, you know. So that was his desire. So Shukracharya gave him solution. Okay, you can do that. And he gave him the process. He engaged him in the worship, in a yajna, which is actually worship of Lord Vishnu. And Bali Maharaj did that very faithfully, very sincerely. And in a short time, Bali Maharaj, not only Bali Maharaj, but all the demons, they got so much strength, so much power, that they all got ready, okay, now let's go and conquer the heavens. And they covered, they went to heavenly planets and they covered whole heaven from all the directions. And seeing that power, the effulgence of Bali Maharaj, from within the heaven, Indra could see, and he got fearful. Man, you know, at this point of time, we are not going to win. You know, this man will kill us. So they didn't even went out to fight. Indra and all the residents of heaven, they just fled. You know, they didn't even enter fighting. They were so fearful that they just left heaven. And then here, nicely, Bali Maharaj comes and, you know, sits on the throne of Indra, and he got the heavenly planets. And seeing this, mother of demigods, Aditi, she was also very much aggrieved. Why? Because her son, Indra, lost heavenly planets. And she was so much aggrieved that what to do, you know, I need my children back to their position, you know. What they are doing, they must be suffering, and what kind of life they will be living. And she was very much upset, unhappy. Seeing that, her husband Kashyapa, he inquired, what happened? And then Aditi, mother Aditi, gave a whole story, what had happened. And she is asking, please help me. You are the powerful sage, you are the great devotee of Lord. You can do this. You know, please help me. I want my sons back to heavenly planets, and they again rule these heavenly planets. And what did Kashyapa Muni told? He instructed her, yes, you can do that by engaging yourself in, again, devotional service. It is called Payovrata. For 12 days, if you do this Payovrata, you will see the Lord, and Lord can help you. So like that, she also performed devotional service for 12 days. And after 12 days, Lord appeared personally. Lord appeared, Lord Vishnu appeared personally, gave darshan. And here, Mother Aditi is glorifying Lord. And then we know, after all, what happens. That Lord becomes her son, Vamandev, little Brahmachari. And he goes to Bali Maharaj and he tricks him and gets the whole heavenly kingdom, whole universe basically, whole universe back, and gives back to her brother Indra, his brother Indra. But the point is, although we see Bali Maharaj, he wanted whole universe, he wanted heavenly planets, but when he saw the Lord, he happily gave away again, you know. Even Shukracharya was protesting, you know, don't do that, you know, he is Lord Vishnu in guise of little Brahmachari, and he will take away, in three steps he will take away everything, whatever you have earned through your hard work, don't give. But he didn't listen to his guru, and he said, no, he is Supreme Lord, he knew. He is Supreme Lord, and what an opportunity I got. First of all, he was so happy that Lord himself gave him darshan. Just by gaining darshan, he was happy, and he surrendered everything back to Lord. And same thing happened with Mother Aditi. She wanted, not only she wanted that her son gets heavenly kingdom, but also she wanted, she has very cunning desire. She wanted her son's enemies get killed. All the demons get killed. That also she wanted. But when Lord was present there, she couldn't express that. She felt so embarrassed to tell such a petty thing, you know, such a nasty desire, to express such a nasty desire. She didn't express that. But Lord told her, this is what you want, but mindful, I won't kill demons. Why? Because after all, again, he is Bhakta Vatsala, you know. These demons also have performed devotional service. How can I kill my devotees? He considered his demons also his devotees. He is Bhakta Vatsala again. So I won't kill. I will give heavenly kingdoms to your son, Indra, but I won't kill demons because they have worshipped. But here we see both Bali Maharaj and Aditi, when they got engaged in devotional service, despite of having ill motives in their heart, one is wanting heavenly planets, one wants to kill others, such a bad desire, actually speaking. But still, Lord gave them darshan and purified them because they were engaged in devotional service, and still they got darshan of the Lord. And both of them actually were very happy afterwards. You know, just by seeing the Lord, they were happy. They don't want anything else. So this is power of devotional service. It is said, there's one very famous folk tale. Not folk tale, but someone has personally experienced that scene. There's one great devotee in Vrindavan. He was blind. But daily he was seen to go to one of the six temples, I think, rather. Which is that deity? Smallest? Radharaman temple, I think, yeah. So that temple he would go and go for darshan. Now see, this person, this devotee is blind. But still he would daily go to set times for darshan. So someone observed. And some young boys, you know, in Vrindavan, they were teasing, "Oh, Babaji, you know, you are blind and you are coming for darshan every day. You know, what do you see?" You know, so he said, "You know, it is true that I am not able to see, but still I come, so Lord can see me." He says that. So I do my duty to come and take darshan. I may not be able to see the Lord, but don't forget that Lord is not blind. He can see who has come and who has not come. You know, just by seeing Lord seeing you, purpose is achieved. He can purify. Just by glance, he can turn you into great devotee. He has that potency. When Lord Krishna was in the forest, for example, that pastime in the 10th canto, before Brahma Vimohan Lila happened, Agasur ate all the boys, isn't it? And they were killed by Agasur. Lord entered within the Agasur, and then he killed Agasur and came out. And what did he do? Just by his glance, he revived back them to life, just by glance. So Lord can do that, you know. Lord can revive our Krishna consciousness just by glancing upon us. He has that merciful nature. Again, Bhakta Vatsala, you know, he does that. So it is not important actually to come and see the Lord. More important is that, you know, Lord sees us. That is more important. And Lord is seen by devotional service, not otherwise. Only devotional service. Vidurji, when we are talking about Vidurji, for 36 years, he was just going to places for pilgrimage and seeing the different deities of the Lord, and he was engaged in, you know, Shravanam and Kirtanam for 36 years. Now, one can say, you know, one can question, you know, Lord was personally present on the earth, and instead of, you know, he would have gone to actually Dwarka also and lived there, isn't it? And Lord would have happily accepted and, you know, happily received him and, you know, gave him whatever he would have needed. It was like such a relationship that Lord would go to his house and eat and rest, isn't it? That was the relationship with Viduraji and Krishna, Lord Krishna. But Viduraji didn't do that. Rather, he just traveled like a mendicant, places to places, and worshipping Him and hearing and shravanam and kirtanam He is doing. So proximity to the Lord is not important. Rather, devotional service to the Lord is more important. A few days back in the Bhagavatam we hear that Prabhupada also, you know, some one devotee was saying, Prabhupada, you know, I want to be close to your lotus feet. You know? And then Prabhupada said, you know, even mosquitoes are close to my lotus feet, you know. But what they do? They give me trouble. So you can be close to me by doing some devotional service to Krishna. That's how the relationship gets established. So proximity to devotees, to spiritual master, to Supreme Lord. Of course, it is time to time it is required and it is needed. But that is not the highest. The highest is devotional service to the Lord. That brings one closer to the Supreme Lord. So these are the few points. I try to glorify to my best capability. If anyone has any correction, any comments, any questions, please put forward. I shall try my best to explain. Hare Krishna Prabhu.
My friend asked a question, could you please answer it? Does the heart purify the soul or does the soul purify the heart?
Hare Krishna. Does the heart purify the soul or soul purifies the heart? Okay. So, see, here you need to understand, when we call heart, we are basically referring to soul only. Heart is a, in physical manner, is a lump of matter, right? It is not conscious. It is matter. It doesn't have any feelings. So when we say purify the heart, we are basically referring to soul only. Are you getting the point? So there is no difference actually. It's not that physical matter is purifying the soul, which we call heart. Physical matter is purifying the soul. No. They both are identical when we say like that. You know, purifying the heart means purifying the soul. They are both same. Yes, Prabhu.
When
Devahuti was here, this verse says, you know, Devahuti is already devoted, she is pure. So why she lamented and why she was aggrieved when her son went away? Even on material level, of course, in material level we see there is affection. Even amongst non-devotees, there is affection. That's how this world is made. You know, that's how this relationship is made. The Bali Maharaj pastime, for example. When Bali Maharaj desired that, I want heavenly kingdoms. Now, Bali Maharaj is a great grandson of whom? Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj was present there. One can question, how did Prahlad Maharaj didn't instruct Bali Maharaj to not to do these things, you know, not to go and fight with demigods. You know, ultimately demigods are devotees of the Lord, you know. And how come he did that? Why did Prahlad Maharaj didn't mention and didn't stop Bali Maharaj to do that? You know? They just say, you know, after all, that was also his son, you know. And he said, okay, you know, go ahead, you know, like that. So even in heart of devotees, sometimes we see, you know, even for apparently material things, even devotees will show such kind of emotions. For material things also, you know, devotees will allow, okay, let go, do it, and encourage and support. But here in this case, we see Devahuti's son was not an ordinary person. He is Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna? Listening? Okay. So, I remember when I was reading first time the Srimad Bhagavatam, the first canto, we'll hear Lord Krishna's disappearance. So now a person like me, Kanishta Adhikari, you know, such a contaminated living entity, Reading this Bhagavatam, I remember very distinctly, I also felt, I became sad, oh Lord is leaving. You know, while reading those chapters, you know, Lord has left. And I also felt like, you know, something is lost. Imagine, you know, so such a neophyte person also gets that kind of feeling, what to speak when you are pure devotee and Supreme Lord is a son, your own son, and he is going away from you. Definitely you will feel that. Definitely you will be aggrieved. So what is surprising there? Why not? You know, although you are pure, but that is actually his instrument. His instrument for our better advancement. So, yeah, that is perfection of all the love. That is perfection of life, to feel separation from the Lord. So, nothing is unusual in there. Yes, Prabhuji?
You know, that Lord is going, Mother is feeling now, in his gone, you see all the, you know, boys, they join Brahmacharya Ashram. And, you know, how do you reconcile it? Because Mother is going to cry.
Yes.
And you talked about affection, you talked about the motherly, you know, so much of love. Yeah. And what are you going to answer if the son is leaving home to join Brahmacharya Ashram?
He's saying in ISKCON we see so many young devotees, they become brahmacharis and their mother laments. So how do you answer your mother, lamenting mother? Ultimately, the son who has become devotee will liberate their mothers as well. They are lamenting because of their material affection, and that is fine, you know, that is accepted, you know, that will be there, you cannot avoid that. But ultimately, that devotee, the brahmachari, should know that it is beneficial to not only to their mother, father, whole generation. In case of Dhruv Maharaj, we see that Dhruv Maharaj was called. Vishnudutas came to take him back to Godhead, and he also at that point of time he remembered his mother. His mother was devotee, or in one sense you can say, you know, not so exalted devotee as Dhruv Maharaj, and in helpless condition she advised that, okay, I have heard that, you know, people worship Lord Vishnu in the forest, so you go and do that, and only Lord Vishnu can help you. And he did that, and in 6 months with Dhruv Maharaj got darshan of the Lord, became pure devotee, and here he is going back to Godhead in Vaikuntha. And at that point, that devotee, Dhruv Maharaj, remembered his mother, that what about my mother? You know, she is my Vatma Pradakshan Guru. She, because of her instruction, today I have achieved the perfection. And then Vishnudas shows, you know, she is going before you, look at that. You know, and then other Viman was carrying mother. So they are liberated. And our parents are not devotees, but ultimately actually Lord saves them. Lord is Bhakta Vatsala, you know, he's always busy in recruiting all the living entities back to Godhead. And when especially he sees my devotees, see such a nice devotee he is, and when devotees desire that my parents also, my relatives also, and all other living entities also gets liberated, Lord helps them, Lord fulfills personally. So it takes time. In such cases we have seen later on, you know, slowly, even parents become devotee. And they understand what their sons are doing, what their daughters are doing. And they appreciate, and slowly they also become devotee. And even if they don't become devotee in this life, they will be immensely benefited. No doubt about that. No doubt about that. Yes, Prabhu.
If you remember or not, I remember your Guru Maharaj was also going to see one of the lady teachers near Geelong. So, Vrijan Prabhu also is saying, as a guru, he was going to see the disciple when she was sick from Melbourne to Geelong.
Yeah, yeah.
Almost every day.
Yeah.
So, how the guru takes care?
Govind Mataji, I think. No? Frankly, I remember. I don't know. You may remember.
Govinda Mataji.
Govinda Mataji, yeah.
She had done.
Yeah. Anything else? Any question? Comments? Oh, yes, Prabhu. Sorry.
Yeah. What's the definition of divide? If you don't give service, but you come in and do all the other austerity stuff, can you still be a divide?
In Chaitanya Charitamrita. He's saying, what is the definition of devotee? Who is devotee, basically? Whom do we call devotee, right?
Yes, yeah, so one that doesn't give service but comes and doesn't
work. So. Yes, yes. So if someone doesn't give a lot of services, but he comes on and off, or maybe regularly, and does whatever he could, right? Still he is considered devotee or not, isn't he?
Yes.
Okay. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita, every year, devotees of the Lord, Chaitanya, would go to Jagannath Puri, from Navadvip to Jagannath Puri, headed by Shiva's, anyone remembers that name?
Shivananda
Sen. Thank you. Shivananda Sen.
Is it dog?
Yeah. That was only once. That dog also got liberated, see? So what to speak of our mothers and fathers, you know? So, yeah. So, this devotee, 1 year they asked Lord Chaitanya, that who is devotee? Same question they asked. So, 1 year, the first time they asked, Lord Chaitanya replied that whoever chants the holy name once in life, see the magnanimity of the devotional service. Once in a life, if someone utters Krishna, he is devotee. Nothing else required. He's considered devotee. And then devotees took that answer, went back, and after 1 year, they again comes back. And they ask same question, because they have doubt, like all of us we have. You know, how come that person, you know, is doing all the sinful activities throughout life? He chanted just once, Hare Krishna, and he's devotee? We are not prepared to see in that way, you know, everyone is a devotee. Or especially a person who has chanted once, he's devotee. We are not prepared to see like that. So they had doubt and they asked same question next year. And Lord Chaitanya replied that one who chants constantly, he is devotee. That was his next level answer. So there you can see the sincerity, the dedication is shown that, you know, I am devotee, this is my duty to remember and do Sravanam and Kirtanam regularly, daily. So one who chants holy name daily, he is a devotee. Still devotee had doubts. After 1 year, they again came back and they asked third time, what is the definition of devotee? Who is devotee? Because we see, even those who are chanting constantly, there are some faults, still some faults are there, isn't it? So are they still devotees? They are considered... So third time, Mahaprabhu answered that one who chants the holy name, another person, a non-devotee, sees that person chanting the holy name and he also starts chanting the holy name, he is devotee. So just the person is chanting the holy name, that inspires whoever sees him to chant the holy name, he is devotee. So see, there are gradations of devotees. Yeah. Gradations of devotees, basically, you know. So the faith, the purity increases. The definition of devotees also varies in that way. So in essence, everyone is devotee. When Prabhupada was asked once, how many disciples you have? How many devotees you have in your movement?
How many pure devotees?
How many pure devotees? So yeah, that two instances. So once he said, how many pure devotees are in ISKCON? So he said, how many devotees are in ISKCON? Now that was his answer. So everyone in ISKCON, all the devotees are pure devotees. That's what his consideration was. And other time when a reporter asked, how many devotees you have in your movement? He said, whole world. Some knows and some doesn't know. So that's his understanding, you know. So essentially we all are devotees. We forgot. That's our misfortune, you know.
You are a devotee.
Okay?
I just said it at the screen, some of the data, that's
all I wanted to clarify. And in Krishna's eyes, everyone is devotee. So there is no discrimination there. We may, being full of other contamination, we may discriminate. But Krishna never discriminates. He gave liberation to Agasur. Aga means sin. Full of sin. He is full of personified, sinful person. You know? Agasur, he dared to kill Krishna and his friends, beloved friends. But still, Bhakta Vatsala, he saved his devotees and he gave Sarupya Mukti to Agasur. Sarupya Mukti means same bodily features, same spiritual body as the Lord. He gave him that Agasur who killed Lord's beloved devotees, beloved friends. He gave him Sarupya Mukti. Imagine how much compassion Lord has. And such a beautiful thing actually, you know. Not only he got liberation, but his dead body was also became object of pleasure for his devotees in the material world. So soul also went, and there he engaged in devotional service, and his dead body is also engaged in devotional service. The coward boys were playing on that Agasur's dead body, you know, for many years. And that was giving a lot of joy to Krishna and his devotees. So see, Krishna is full of good qualities. He doesn't discriminate. When his mercy potency especially invoked, lowest of lowest person will be qualified to become his personal associate of the Lord. So keep in mind that, you know, okay, we may see so many things, but Lord actually is there. He is Jagannath. He is our Nath. He never discriminates, and he, in his eyes, we all are devotees. Hare Krishna. Okay, so we'll end here. It's already 9:00. Thank you so much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki
jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Nitai Gaur Hari Mo.